Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this March 27th, 2023. Happy Monday, everybody. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Hello, hello.
And Beth Havhager. And that's where you say, yes, and Beth. And
hi. I can't impersonate Beth's voice. I mean, I think we sound somewhat alike on the radio.
A little bit.
But yeah, no.
A little bit. She'll be joining us soon, I'm sure. Beth will be with us any moment now. We're looking forward to that when Beth has a chance to join us. I did want to put a programming note out to everybody. Just a couple of really quick notes before we get into, of course, the kitchen's open.
Good morning.
Oh, hey, there she is. There
hello.
She is. I don't have to buy time. Okay.
Technology's great when it works.
I was going to say, though, real quick, tomorrow on the show in this time slot, we're going to be joined by some friends of ours from the Nakusa Walleye Days.
Oh, good.
Melissa and I are going to hang out with them, talk to them a little bit. It should be a lot of fun. And do keep in mind, everybody, starting next month, after the kitchens open on Mondays, we will be joined by our good friend Bill Heck with our monthly Veterans Update.
Awesome.
Bill will join us once a month like he usually used to do all the time and stuff. We're looking forward to having Bill join us again and getting those monthly Veterans Updates. Greatly appreciate him doing that. Of course, That Ain't Right stories coming up. Good stories, some entertainment news. But you know what we do on Mondays at 9 o'clock. Kitchen's open.
Yeah. And it's Monday, March 27th. We want to begin today by thanking our sponsors. The Kitchen's Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Catering. Chatterbox Catering is a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
If you have a holiday you want to cater, or a wedding, graduation, or family reunion, you'll want to talk with Kathy at Chatterbox. If you're missing their regular restaurant right now during Lent, they are doing a Friday fish fry to go.
Yeah, and that's not going to be going on too much longer. But they do have their full Friday fish menu on Fridays, and you can order their delicious homemade food to take home and enjoy. Just call 715-712-3393 to place your order. We'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment. But first, we have to get into today's topic, which is olive oil.
You said we might talk about this.
Yes. And 30 seconds into researching, I learned that I was wrong last week when I said olives don't grow in the U.S.
See, I knew that olives grow in California.
Yes. And they also grow in Arizona, Texas, Georgia, Florida, Oregon, and Hawaii. In fact, there's approximately 40,000 acres of olives planted exclusively for the production of olive oil in the United States.
U.S. consumers use 90 million gallons of olive oil a year.
Whew.
We're the largest market outside of the European community.
Well, let's take a quick look at the history. The Roman Empire was key to expanding the cultivation of olive oil around 900 BCE. Before that, olive oil was mainly used as lamp oil. But with the cultivation and the olive oil pressing advanced, the bitterness in olive oil decreased, which increased production and demand.
And in Crete, olives were grown commercially as far back as 3000 BC. Ooh. The Greeks used it for food, fuel, skin lotion, contraceptives, detergent, preservatives, pesticides, perfume, and adornment.
Pretty much everything.
They are the ones who introduced olive cultivation to Spain and Egypt, and from there, it spread to the Roman Empire.
So the Romans made many improvements to olive oil extraction and storage. As they conquered territories around them, they brought the olive with them and throughout southern Europe and North Africa. So during this time, olive oil was such an important commodity, it was even accepted as payment for taxes. Wish I could have done that this year. But with the decline of the Roman Empire, olive oil decreased and olive oil lost popularity.
But the Italians came to the rescue. Around 1000 BCE, the merchant class in Italy discovered the sale of olive oil in local markets giving them an important source of income. That's when Tuscany became a renowned region for the cultivation of olive trees and the production of olive oil. Salud!
Those Italians always got a butt in. Thanks, James.
Yeah. Can't be helped. I can't help myself. I'm so sorry. I can't help myself. I had to jump in there.
Those Italians always got a butt in.
Yeah. Just can't help it. I can't help myself.
Thanks, James. Spanish colonists brought the olive with them to the New World in the 16th century, and cultivation prospered in what is present-day Peru and Chile. Jump forward to the 18th century when Spanish missionaries brought olive trees with them to the Southern California area.
And as those missionaries marched north, they continued to plant olive trees. By the mid-18th century, the thriving olive oil industry was established in California. There were some hiccups in the early 1900s when inexpensive olive vegetable oils flooded the market. But after researchers discovered the health benefits of the Mediterranean diet in the 1950s, the interest in olive oil resurged.
Yes, the traditional Mediterranean diet focuses on eating lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, small amounts of red meat, lots of fish, and a few dairy products. Olive oil is the main source of fat in the Mediterranean diet. Researchers found that this diet can lower your risk of cardiovascular disease and other chronic conditions.
Mm-hmm. So this rise in demand revitalized the olive oil production in the United States. And as we stated earlier, America is one of the largest importers of olive oil. But here's where things get interesting. In 2010, the UC Davis Olive Center published a report funded by California olive oil producers and companies. This report claimed that 69% of imported olive oil samples and 10% of California olive oil samples failed to meet the IOC USDA sensory standards for extra virgin olive oil.
So it failed a taste test?
Pretty much. Buried in the report, it does say that UC Davis conducted technical, physical, and chemical tests, but didn't find a single instance of adulteration of the same oils.
So I don't need to worry about which olive oil I buy.
Well, you should still be an informed consumer. But as I looked further into these olive oil scandals, many of the articles were corrected to show the faulty data from that one report is what many of these articles are based on. They're still out there. And if you don't read the full article, you may be led to believe, like I was at first, that there's a lot of bad olive oil on the shelves. But that's not completely true.
It was basically a marketing ploy to try to compete with all the other imported olive oil.
Yep. But here's an interesting fact about imported olive oil. Much of the oil that comes from Italy isn't produced there. It's just bottled there. So most of the olive oil they export comes from Spain. It goes through rigorous testing to meet the Italian requirements for extra virgin olive oil. And as long as it meets the minimum qualities, the label can say bottled in Italy.
Almost every major olive oil distributor has been investigated at least once. Light or extra light olive oil is just that, clear and light in color. Here's some ways you can kind of tell this. What is a good, what is different? It doesn't refer to calories, so that part nicks out. It refers to lack of color and flavor. Extra virgin oil should be a strong color and flavor, and often has an oblique appearance. So it's like a cloudy kind of thing. This is because to be labeled extra virgin, an oil needs to be from the very first pressing. One extra virgin olive oil is olive oil that has a free acidity expressed as free oleic acid, or not more than 0.5 grams per 100 grams. And you can usually see that on the label. Mm-hmm. A medium of defects equal to zero, and other characteristics which correspond to the limits fixed for this grade is this standard. So what does all that mean? Basically, looking on the back of that label and looking at that, how many grams there are in there is a good tell, usually. Mm. And I would say that that 0.5 is what you're looking for.
Thanks for the technical aspect of that.
Yeah.
That's great.
You can thank my Nana.
Now, this doesn't mean that fraud doesn't happen, though. An article in the Olive Oil Times published in April of 2021 said that there were 32 cases of fraud in the global olive oil industry between 2016 and 2019. The most common fraud includes diluting and substituting other oils, like blending olive oil and vegetable oils and marketing them as pure olive oil. But the article also claimed the quality of the olive oil sold in the market in the last 30 years has greatly improved.
So now, as James pointed out with the technical aspects of this, there are ways that you can tell if an olive oil you're looking at on the shelf is actually olive oil. First, you want to look for the NAOOA seal. That's the North American Olive Oil Association. It's a little red circle with an olive branch in it. The other one to look for is the COOC seal. That's the California Olive Oil Council. The yellow circle with a green print and an olive tree decal. It almost looks like clip art. And if it's imported, it will have the seal of the International Olive Council, or IOC. It's a blue globe with an olive branch in it.
The next thing to look at is the packaging. High-quality oil will be packaged in a glass bottle. Preferably, you want a bottle with dark glass to keep it light out. Extra virgin olive oil is highly susceptible to light and temperature. Then you should look for a pressing or harvest date and location. Extra virgin olive oil will go rancid after about a year, so it will start to degrade once you open the bottle. You should probably use it within 6 months of opening.
So now here's the fun part. The best way to tell if your olive oil is good is to taste it. Like wine, you can become a sommelier of olive oil. But if you don't want to do the 5-day intensive program, you can just try it at home with a wine glass. If you have a blue or colored glass, that's better. The color of the oil shouldn't influence your taste because all oil can be all different colors. AllTheSwirl.com is a blog I found that goes through the whole process. You cover the glass and swirl the oil, then sniff it as soon as you take your hand away to catch the aroma and think about what you're smelling. Then you'll slurp a little bit like you do with wine to release the volatile compounds. Now, bitter is actually a good flavor with olive oil. It's a sign of freshness. Then you swallow it. You should feel a slight burning or peppery sensation at the back of your throat. This is a sign of higher levels of the antioxidant oleocanthal. You don't want it to taste rancid, musty, vinegary, or metallic.
But most of us don't want to eat straight olive oil. So let's talk about how you can use it in the kitchen.
Yes. So my favorite way is with a loaf of fresh, crusty sourdough bread. You just put the olive oil in a dish with fresh or dried herbs like thyme, rosemary, pepper, salt, and red pepper flakes if you want a kick. Dip the bread and enjoy.
You can also use it just like you would any other oil in the kitchen. It's great for making homemade salad dressings, pasta sauces, or marinades for meat. I like to use it to make bruschetta. Sorry, nice. Melissa. I know you can't do the tomatoes.
That's okay.
But you know, you can also bake with it.
Mm.
I found this wonderful recipe on cookingontheweekends.com that James may even like.
Ooh.
It's olive oil chocolate chip cookies.
Yum.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Those are good.
Now, the thing to be aware of with these cookies, though, is they don't behave like a typical cookie dough. So when you're making them, the oil changes things a little bit. You're going to have to shape the dough into balls using your hands and then kind of squeeze them together a little gently. Otherwise, the chocolate chips will easily slip out of the cookie. So here's how you make them. You mix together in a large bowl 1 cup of extra virgin olive oil. Yes, I said 1 cup.
That's a lot
of extra virgin olive oil. 1 tablespoon pure vanilla extract, 3/4 cup granulated sugar, 3/4 cup brown sugar, and 1 teaspoon of kosher salt. Mix it until you have a smooth consistency. Now you add in 1 large egg and blend it again until it is again smooth. Then you add your 2 cups of all-purpose flour and 1/2 teaspoon baking soda and mix just until it's fully incorporated and you don't see any dry spots of flour. And then you fold in the chocolate chips.
Mm-hmm.
Now comes the fun part. You use your hands to shape the batter into balls, about 2 tablespoons each. Your hands will get a little bit greasy from the oil, but for this recipe, the hands really are the best thing to use. Add the shaped balls of dough onto the parchment-lined paper baking sheets that you have and at least 2 inches apart as you go. And then use the palm of your hand to gently flatten the balls of the batter only about halfway. And then you can lightly sprinkle each one with just a little bit more kosher salt.
Mm.
You'll bake them in a preheated 350-degree oven until the cookies are golden brown along the edges, which will be about 10 to 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. Let them cool on the baking sheet for about 5 minutes before you transfer them onto a cooling rack to come to room temperature.
Ooh, those sound really good.
don't they? And they're just one example of how olive oil can be used in baking. I also found a recipe for classic olive oil cake at insanelygoodrecipes.com that looked really yummy.
And from what I read, you can use it in baking just like you would any other oil. Mm-hmm. I think that some recipes will call for a specific type of olive oil, but if you're looking to get the benefits of extra virgin olive oil, then that's the kind you want to use. So you may want to find specific recipes for that, because it does have a pretty distinct taste.
It does.
Another way that you can incorporate olive oil into your daily routine or beauty routine, we'll say, is olive oil is a great component in beauty creams and different things. Actually, the Romans used it to clean themselves. They didn't bathe in water. They would cover themselves in oil and then scrape it off. So another way...
It's where they think back scratchers came from. Seriously, it's where they think back scratchers came from.
There you go. That's the whole phrase, you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
There you go. So one really fairly simple natural cleanser that you can make for your face is four tablespoons cold-pressed extra virgin olive oil, 2 teaspoons raw honey, and 20 drops of sweet orange essential oil. So you'll mix those all together and store it in a dark glass bottle, because remember, olive oil will break down if it's exposed to light. So shake the bottle before use and pour a nickel to quarter size drop in the palm of your hands. Work the oil into your face in circular motions and going up, not down. And then use a damp washcloth to remove the oil from your face. Repeat the cleaning process until your face is clean from dirt and makeup and feels soft and silky.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of other recipes. I have this really awesome book. It's called Natural Beauty from the Garden. More than 200 do-it-yourself beauty recipes and garden ideas. And in here, there's several different recipes for like massage oils that you can make olive oil. So this one's called Zen Oil. It's a half a cup of light olive oil, 1 tablespoon dried lavender flowers, 1 to 2 whole clove buds, and then 2 to 3 drops each of lavender essential oil and ylang essential oil. You mix that together and it makes just a glorious smelling massage oil. You won't want your massage to end.
My old football coach was way ahead of this. He used to tell us, oh, you're hurting, rub some dirt on it, you'll be fine.
Not the same, James.
He almost was there.
Olive oil might be as old as dirt, but or practically. Well, we want to send out a big thank you to our sponsors, Chatterbox Restaurant and Chatterbox Catering, for sponsoring our Kitchen Open segment. Mm-hmm. Visit Chatterbox and try order to sign up with them to cater your next event.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and for those catering needs, call Kathy at Chatterbox Restaurant and Catering, and she will find you the perfect menu for that party.
Whatever your catering needs, contact Kathy at 715-712-3393 and let Chatterbox Catering cook up something good. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
For now, kitchen will be back open next Monday, everybody. Be looking forward to it already. I got to tell you guys, I don't mean to do this embarrassing here. I think that was one of your best ones, Mel. That is awesome. I don't think a lot of people think much of olive oil. You just opened up a lot of minds when it comes to that one, to a lot of interesting information.
Well, I'll tell you, once you start digging into it, there's a lot of information out there, because this is one of the oldest substances that we have in our kitchen. And as here in the United States, it's a newer product for us, being not really popularized until the 50s. Mm-hmm. So I think that, I took on more than I expected with this particular episode, but
appreciate
the good
work.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us have it on our shelves, but we don't know what to do with it. So this kind of opens that up for us. Thank you.
All right.
Good work, Mel. Nice work, both of you. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some entertainment news here on The Morning Show at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Beth, Melissa, and James here with you. Diving into some entertainment news now, and this is an interesting one, and it brings up an interesting topic that isn't going away anytime soon. Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus duet Rainbow Land was banned by an elementary school in Wisconsin.
I saw that headline.
It was going to be used at a first grade concert, but the principal said it's controversial without giving an actual explanation. The parents are upset about the decision and think it's because Dolly's support of the LGBTQ community and of drag performances, even though the song has no reference whatsoever to any of that. So, a couple quick notes here. You are never going to win anybody over, especially children, by just saying, you know, hey, this is controversial, and then giving no explanation of why. Is that not the exact opposite of being an educator? For a principal to do this, like you have to be horrible at your job. Like, that is the exact opposite of educating. Like, basically just telling these parents and all these students, because I said so. That's the equivalent of that. And the other side of this, and this is just a note in case, because as we get older, we forget what it's like to be a kid, to be a teenager, and these things. That's just the way life works. Then I would say, maybe you guys can disagree with this if you'd like, but I would say 89 to 90% of children, especially in that age range, what happens when you tell them not to do something? What happens when
you kind of do the opposite?
When you do this whole quote unquote protecting them or keeping them from something, what did they do? What did you do when you were young? When your parents told you not to listen to that song or told you not to watch that movie or not do this or do that? What did we all do? So what are you doing here?
And you said these are first graders?
First graders.
Yeah.
Wow. I had to look it up because I haven't heard this song, and just reading the refrain, living in a rainbow land where skies are blue and things are grand, wouldn't it be nice to live in paradise where we'd be free to be exactly who we are?
Yeah.
Seems pretty fair to me. Seems pretty, you know, like a good message to me. Like, how bad are you that you are coming at Dolly Parton? that seems like a different, like that is a matchup I don't want to have. Mm-hmm. I'm not going up again. I can't imagine that being a smart move. And they keep using this as a guise. We're trying to protect our children. We're trying to ban these books to protect our children. No, you're trying to protect yourself. This is about you and your feelings. Mm-hmm. Don't go trying to... Kids don't even care about this stuff. Kids don't even know what you're talking about. This is about you and you being in, you know, being uncomfortable. Oh, no. I'm uncomfortable in society. I'm a white man that has to all of a sudden understand different things and understand different cultures and different things. Welcome to our world. Welcome to the rest of us, what it's like to be the rest of us and everybody, where you have to live, you've lived your whole life this way. Mm-hmm. I've had every little bit of research or anything I've learned about my culture, I had to do on my own. They didn't teach me that in school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, welcome to the world. Welcome to the way that it is for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Or you have to understand a culture or something or an idea, something that you don't know anything about and it seems foreign and weird to you. Again, welcome to what it's like for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I wonder if this song, because it really talks about being self-confident in who you are, no matter who you are, how that uncomfortable that makes somebody feel when the only way that they can feel good about themselves is if they feel as if they're better than other people.
Superior to others.
I just wish that they would at least own this. Like, quit using kids as a shield. Mm-hmm. Quit using children for your purposes and to be able to, like, do these kind of, like, put these things into law and everything.
Not to invite you back up on your soapbox, James, but they want to ban a song like this, but they can't ban certain types of guns that are causing all of these school shootings.
Right.
Yeah. It is the equivalent of, look, I'm working. Look, when you know, your mom and dad checked on you to see if you were doing your errands and stuff, and that you listen for them. Oh, and then you start working as soon as you know they're coming, and then you stop working as soon as they're not looking. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the equivalent of this idea that the politicians are getting something done for us or protecting our children. That meanwhile we've got nobody has done a damn thing about school shootings. Not nothing. But we got made sure that the kids aren't seeing drag races. What kids are seeing drag dance or any of this stuff anyway? Like, and God help us if they hear a Dolly Parton song. Oh no, that's gonna flip them all. If you just do a bit of research, guess what? If your kid is something, they already are. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what song you play. Doesn't matter what clothes you put them in. Doesn't matter if you put them in the quote unquote conversion therapies and these sick, twisted things or anything like that. They are what they are. no different than you are what you are.
Yep.
You are what you are. And it doesn't change.
The mental health issues that we're having right now is because we're telling people that they can't be who they claim they are. Mm-hmm. And how is this help? I mean, these are the same people that are decrying how much mental health issues our children are having without realizing they're causing. They're a part of the cause of why children are so insecure and have mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
You're uncomfortable now. It ain't going to get any easier. There is no law. There is no thing that can happen that is going to put the genie back in the bottle. This is the only way it's only going forward. It's only going more and more, embracing society, embracing people who for being people. Just being themselves.
Like, having conversations and communicating with each other and talking about our differences. That is what's going to help us move forward. Not saying, well, you shouldn't be this, so I'm going to make a law saying you can't.
How dare you come after Dolly Parton?
That
How
too.
Dare you? Yeah. Dare you, sir?
It's pretty audacious.
Especially, look at what he's doing. You want to talk about people who have done something for the kids? Let's talk about Dolly Parton. Let's talk about her imagination library. Let's talk about how much she's done for literacy, how much she has done for the poor, how much she, et cetera, et cetera.
How much all of her music has enriched everyone's lives. That like Dolly's music. I'm sure there are people that don't, but that's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some talk lately of Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore, and Adam Sandler doing a movie together. And on today's Drew Barrymore show, the three of them hit on a pretty perfect idea, a remake of Three's Company.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Adam would, of course, play Jack, and he's totally into it. He said that would be incredible. Jennifer decided that she'd have to play Chrissy because she wouldn't be able to cut her hair. That would leave Drew to play Janet, which is fine. Drew said that she'd be fine cutting hers. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I will say Sandler, like, as good as he is with Chris Rock or David Spade or Farley or any of those guys, his best chemistry is with either Jennifer Aniston or Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Easily, by far and away, his chemistry with those two is impeccable. Also, his chemistry with Selma Hayek is really good, too. Drew Barrymore, he does the silly stuff a little better with. Whereas with Jennifer, he does a little more of the straight man kind of bit more. Both of them, very good. Those the movies that he did with Jennifer Aniston, the murder mystery ones or whatever, I just watched it for the heck of it. It was really good. I actually really liked it. I thought it was very well done. And their chemistry is so good. If they're going to do Three's Company, that's the only way I'd watch it. Those three, I'd watch that.
Well, and the funny thing is, I just Googled that quick. They've been talking about remaking a Three's Company for quite some time.
Yeah.
Disney talked about it in 2016. Suzanne Summers talked about it in 2022.
Wow, I didn't know that. In 2022, she talked about it. Wow, yeah. It seems like one of those concepts that's easy, you know, ready-made. You don't have to change too much to adapt it to today's audiences.
To modern audiences,
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show on WFHR. Stick around for Melissa's News. We'll be back with more here on Locally Grown Radio.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. I should mention that we are looking for somebody new to do our bumpers.
This is one of my favorite karaoke songs to sing.
It's the busting rhymes line. It's so cringy to me. It's so. Look, I don't want to get them mad at me though. That is like one of those fan bases you do not want to tick off. Like I've done that before, and I want to make sure that the Bare Naked Leggy fan base out there knows I am not trying to offend them. I am not trying to. They come after you like the Swifties. Like they will come at you.
Yeah.
You have all of Canada mad at you, like the whole country, like just mad at you. Let's get into this one right here. Melissa, Beth, and James with you. Now, just kind of a continuation of our entertainment. Guy Fieri, I think Guy Fieri. I wouldn't know if we would say he's a household name, but I would say certainly in America he is.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty fair to say that.
Commonly recognized.
Certainly hasn't hurt that he has quite a signature look. The bleached hair, the bowling shirts, that kind of thing. It's helped him stand out along with a great natural charisma and certainly knowing what he's talking about. If you watch one episode of Diners, Drive-Ins and, you know, that, this guy definitely knows what he's talking about. He understands food. He understands ingredients. And understands people. I think that the reason that show has been so successful is his genuine empathy and his charisma.
Yeah, and how he can connect with restaurant owners.
Yes,
and,
perfect word, connect. That's what I was looking for. I don't think he really ever needed the signature, quote unquote, signature look. But apparently his producers did, because none of that is Guy. That is not his look. That is not his style at all. Quote, I don't think I even own one bowling shirt. He told the Wall Street Journal, I'm pretty much a t-shirt and jeans guy, shorts, flip-flops. I'm not a real fashion icon. The origin of Fieri's now iconic bowling shirt began over 15 years ago as he was wearing the look in his 2005 audition tape for the second season of Next Food Network Star, the competition series he won in 2006. That's when I got the call to do Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. They said, bring a short-sleeve collared shirt, they said. So this gray Dickies shirt that he's wearing, when the show got picked up, that's what I was wearing in the pilot. So they just said, keep that wardrobe. That works. As for the renown, and that's how that style was born. Well, what about his hair? The hair and stuff. Well, he has a very good, for his icy colored blonde hairstyle, he opened up about how the look originated. Quote, a friend of mine is a hairdresser and I had long hair and she would give me a hard time forever about it. And one day I said, fine, do whatever you want. And she goes, whatever I want. And this is what she did. The glasses on the back of the head that he does, I didn't have anywhere else to put them, he said simply. If I put them around my shirt at the restaurant, they'd fall into the food. So I just put them on the back of my head. But his whole look, kind of not really his thing and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually, for some people like him, and you can continue to read, you can go to parade.com for the full article. Again, parade.com. He talks about he's not necessarily that comfortable with the being a big name celebrity. Like having his name in the public eye and all that stuff and everything. So this almost helps him a little bit, kind of like hide.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit, be incognito a little bit. Like if he goes walking around like this, well, certainly you're going to notice him. But if he looks the way that Guy looks normally.
Right.
You know, it lets him hide a little bit. I think that's kind of actually masterfully done, even though it wasn't intentional.
Puts on a t-shirt and a baseball cap.
Yeah. And I'm glad he shared that because he welcomed that because he went on to the next Food Network Star.
Yeah.
So he wanted to be on TV. He wanted to be able to do that. And then I wonder if as he got more and more popular, he realized, oh, there's another side to fame. And so this is the blessing of being able to have those two different looks.
I wonder if anything changed at all. You know, I know so many. I know more actors and comedians and musicians that have no interest in fame or being, you know, a household name, but love what they do. They didn't and would love to be able to do what they do without necessarily having to take all the baggage, the fame and all that stuff that comes with it. I get the idea that he may, and I'm not trying to speak for him. I have no idea. Just what I've read in the article and I've watched his show over the years and everything. He comes across as a guy who loves food, loves people, loves entertaining, but there's a limit.
Yeah.
There's a line in the sand for him. That there's certain people, they can never have enough fame. They could never have enough, you know, people couldn't talk about them nearly enough. Aaron Rodgers. there's other people. Who don't really necessarily need that, don't necessarily, you know, care about that too much, but yet they have this calling, this pull to do this. I see this mostly with actors. I see it with so many people who love to perform, love to play these characters, but they get deathly afraid of the idea of anybody know who they are. it's a weird thing. Like, well, why go into that world? Well, I didn't choose this world. Did you choose to be passionate about this? It's not like we wake up one day, you know what I'm going to be passionate about? This. Like, no, you don't get more time. times than not in life, you don't get to choose your passions. Mm-hmm. Acting found me. I didn't find acting. I would love to. It would have been a heck of a lot easier in my life to pick up a hammer and do what my dad did. Mm-hmm. I would have much rather done that. My life would be a lot better had I not, you know, have acting find me, or me find acting, or however you want to look at it. I don't have any interest in fame. I'd be perfectly fine if you told me you can have so-and-so's career, but nobody is going to know who you are. Sounds good to me. Sign me up. I'm all for that. I don't begrudge what you're saying there, Beth. I think that you make a good point there. I wonder, too, if it's that, too, in play. I think it could be all of those factors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Either way, yeah. I love that he shared this, too.
Yeah.
A lot of times celebrities hide these kind of things. They need to have credit for this or credit for that or whatever. I like that by sharing this, he's also giving credit to his producers and his hair and makeup. Up people, and they don't get that a lot. It's pretty cool.
It's a good example that if you're going to say to your hairdresser, do anything you want, you better be prepared for anything to happen.
It's a great point. It's a very, very solid
point. Trust your hairdresser before you say that.
Yep.
We will take a break here, come back, have more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here. Going to take it right to the top of the hour where we will get to CBS News. And after that, it's Playmakers. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. Bring us your sports thoughts and feelings. 424-2600. You need to call up and join us, and we'll talk sports with you. Seth is going to be sitting in with us this morning. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get into a bunch of stuff. I want to talk about the Madness of March, the World Baseball Classic. This Thursday is opening day for Major League Baseball. That's why I'm wearing my White Sox jersey today. I want to talk a little bit, if we have time, about the NFL draft possibly being in Wisconsin. And I want to talk about the most exciting person in college basketball, and it is not a guy.
Oh.
It is like a lot of people, I'm sure, would think it is. It is not. If you have not watched this young lady, you are missing art. You are missing art in basketball.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
We will talk about that during Playmakers today. A big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show.
Nice. Yeah.
Time for some silly criminals. That ain't okay. Right time. Police officers have probably heard every excuse in the book when they pull people over, and they've probably seen some Oscar-worthy performances, too. Well, then there's this guy. Cops in Minnesota pulled someone over on Friday night, and the driver handed them their driver's license and a get-out-of-jail card.
Like from Monopoly?
Yep, a literal Monopoly card.
Get out of jail free.
Like the actual card. And it was the actual orange get out of jail free card. It looked worn, so the person probably had it in their wallet for a while, just waiting for this opportunity. It's unclear what the person got pulled over for, but it doesn't sound like it worked. Shocker. The police shared a photo of it on Facebook and said, "Unfortunately, the state of Minnesota does not recognize this as a valid document." Points for the effort and humor, though.
There you go.
It's possible that the driver just got a ticket and was allowed to proceed, pass and go, collecting $200, but not not landing on yellow properties. I admire the officer taking this in stride.
Well, and then them turning it into a funny, because it's always good when police officers can connect with their community of, hey, nice try. But you still broke the law.
The law, yep.
Again, nobody is doing social media better than police departments.
Correct. Them and Wendy's.
Yes. Yep. Nobody's doing it better. Very well played. I think that's great. That's a good story. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a that ain't right story, but it could have been a, you know.
Okay, but the planning that went into that, like this person was dedicated to keeping that card in their wallet all of this time. And if it was worn, I mean, I wonder if it had been used previously, if he tried it another time, or if this was the first time he'd been pulled over, because I assume it's a guy.
Well, and I wonder if the cop kept it, or did the cop give it back?
That's a good
question. I don't know if they posted a picture of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they take your license with them to the car to check your, you know, do a background check. So he could have brought it, taken the picture then, and then gave it back when he gave back the ID. So that would be interesting. I'd love to hear a follow-up on that.
Yeah, I'll bet he did.
I almost guarantee that this guy had this idea when he was young, and he's had this in his wallet for years, years waiting for this opportunity. So much so to the point where he got to a point in his life where he's driving, and he sees a cop car behind him, and he just speeds up like five extra miles.
I got to use this card, man.
Just so he can get pulled over, just so he can use the card. Like
he's been riding in my wallet all these years, rent-free.
Yeah, he was done. He was done waiting. He's like, I'm going to make this happen.
Well, and if that was the first time he'd ever been pulled over, good on him.
Yeah, right, yeah. It feels like something that would happen to me where, no, that actually would not happen to me. I would definitely get pulled over. But you plan for something and then this happens. One more That Ain't Right story for you here. A new study found that getting a nice big whiff of someone else's body odor might help with social anxiety.
Really?
Mm. Researchers in Sweden had 48 socially anxious women sniff samples of people's armpit sweat. And for some reason, it helped. They went through...
How much did they get paid?
They went through, quote, mindfulness therapy as well, which helped a little. That alone cut their anxious feelings by 17%. But when they also smelled a stranger's BO, their social anxiety dropped by 40%. So more than twice what therapy alone did. It was a small study, so more research is needed, but they exposed the women to different types of BO for 2 days, and no matter what kind of sweat it was, they saw the same result. Some of the sweat was taken from people while they watched a funny movie, and other samples were taken during scary movies, but both types of BO seemed to have a calming effect.
Weird.
Yeah. Very weird.
That's weird.
I'd rather be awkward.
Who thought that up?
Yeah.
I'd rather be awkward.
Well, sweat? Okay, so we talk about the why we sweat. You know, there's good reason for it, and sometimes it's a fear response.
Yes.
Well, like the scary movie. So whatever we're extruding out of our pores, there are certain pheromones and things in that sweat. So I can see the science of where they would think to try this as a, would this lower anxiety? So then that warrants the question, if you are thinking that other people are also feeling anxious, that makes you feel better because you're not alone then? Mm. I mean, is that why? Why would you think that would lower your anxiety?
Hmm. Yeah.
Or you would just be like, well, somebody smells worse than me, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Maybe it's as simple as that. I don't know. Where you make this connection, I think it's you brought it there for us. But I love the idea of that the researcher trying to pitch this to other researchers. Like, no, hear me out. Hear me out on this.
Just wait till the end.
So if they volunteer to take the survey and also give a sample, do they calm themselves if they smell their own body sweat?
No. I almost guarantee no, because you can't tickle yourself. And that's all I'm basing that. That's my science. That's my science on that. Yes.
Nice.
What would be the worst gig? Being the person that has to smell people, or the person having to like kick out the armpit sweat?
Like, I think either of them would be awkward.
I think both of them just feel very awkward to me. Seem very like, no, you know what? I'll go get a part-time job. I'm not going to do this for a living. I'm done. I'm done with science. Completely done with science now. We move on to some good stories of the day. An 80-year-old in Canada now holds a world record for donating more blood than any other
woman. Ooh.
She started in 1965 when she was 22, and she's now donated over 200 units.
Wow.
That's around 30 gallons of blood in her lifetime.
Oh, my.
Her blood type is zero positive, which is the most common
kind. O positive, sorry.
Yeah. So it's in high demand, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I did want to mention really quick, of course, we locally here in Wisconsin Rapids usually have some opportunities for you to donate blood, usually over by the former Eastern High School music room. Music room. We'll tell you about those as we get closer to them. But I did want to let everybody know that the American Red Cross has blood donation opportunities. You can reach out to redcrossblood.org, or you can download their app, or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Today from 11 to 6 over at the Plover Municipal Building at 20. 2400 Post Road in Plover. You can donate there. That's going on today. And then also going on today from 12 until 6:15, you can donate at the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center at 3201 Central Main Street. Find out more about that. And they're actually at the Stevens Point Donation Center. They're donating all the time.
Right. They have very regular hours there.
Encourage you to do that. You do not have to have a tragic backstory or tights to be a superhero. Just donating blood, you can do that right away. Maybe you'll even get a movie deal from Marvel. Who knows?
Maybe.
No, it might happen. Might happen. Seems like this is a regular thing now. A DoorDash driver got pulled over in Nebraska while driving on a suspended license last week. So one of the cops grabbed the two food orders in the car and delivered them himself.
Nice.
Good for him.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Good on him. And two teenage girls in New Orleans just solved a math problem that's been stumping mathematicians for 2,000 years.
Whoa.
Wow.
It has to do with the polygon theorem for sides on a triangle. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. That formula is taught in every geometry class, but it's not ideal because of something called circular reasoning. So they managed to prove it using trigonometry instead. And that is a huge deal. They just gave a presentation at a math conference this month, and they were the only high schoolers in the room.
Wow.
Wow.
That's incredible.
There was a time in society women were not allowed in the sciences and the maths.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't that long ago either.
There are still parts of this world where women are not allowed in school.
Look what happens when you do that stuff. We probably could have figured this out a long time ago. We've been letting women do this stuff. Way to go, ladies. Way to go.
Yeah. Yes.
And speaking,
keep it up.
Yes. Speaking of great women, thank you both for hanging out with us today. You guys have a great day.
You too, James.
Thanks. You too, James.
We'll have morning show for you tomorrow. Stick around for Playmakers coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.